KALW.
Initially, he wasn't talking about climate change at all. Then he started talking about it. Then he had to deal with all the fires.
In the first half of his term as California's governor, Gavin Newsom has faced unprecedented challenges, and all during a pandemic.
I would give him good marks for focusing on homelessness, but he's really tinkering around the edges and needs to go much farther.
Now, with an economic crisis looming, some residents are fed up.
It is do or die time for the governor, because he does face the very real possibility of a recall election.
Today, we're bringing you a special presentation from CAP Radio News, looking at the governor's policies and progress. That's coming up. I'm Hena Baba, and this is Cross Currents. The past 2 years have presented historic challenges for California, from facing one of the most destructive wildfires in our state's history to a pandemic that's taken the lives of over 30,000 residents. Now, as Gavin Newsom enters the second half of his term as California's governor, with an unprecedented homelessness crisis and unemployment on the rise, he's facing a recall effort that might make it onto the ballot. Today, we're bringing you a series of stories from our partners at CAP Radio, exploring Newsom's successes and shortcomings. We start with a story from politics reporter Nicole Nixon about how the recall efforts began.
Diana Chokan is posted up in the parking lot of a grocery store in Citrus Heights, a suburb about 20 minutes north of Sacramento. She's wearing a neon green vest, and her car is draped with an enormous banner that reads, "Recall Gavin Newsom."
I'm a hairstylist. When my salon got shut down, I had a lot of time on my hands.
The 42-year-old comes here 3 days a week to gather signatures for a petition to get Newsom recalled.
I got involved because it was disturbing to see all the businesses closing.
Chokan actually carries a list of reasons she thinks Newsom should get the boot. Pandemic shutdowns are at the top, but there's a lot more.
We have the highest gas tax in the nation, the highest homelessness in the nation. He's promoting fear. Gavin Newsom goes to the French Laundry and eats without a mask.
On any given day, there are dozens, maybe hundreds of tables like hers up and down California. Organizers say they've collected over 1 million signatures. But if they want to get a recall on the ballot, they'll need to get about 1 million more in the next 6 weeks. For a governor facing the very real threat of a recall election, Newsom has a high approval rating, 58%, according to the most recent Public Policy Institute of California survey. That's largely because Democrats have given the governor high marks throughout the pandemic, says Mark Baldessari. He's with the PPIC.
People are very polarized in terms of how they think about their leaders. So you're going to find people who have very strong feelings for and against this governor.
Baldessari says there are big differences between this recall effort and the 2003 recall of former Democratic Governor Gray Davis. Democrats did not have such a tight hold on the state back then, and Davis's approval sunk to a record low of 24% in the months before his ouster. There haven't been voters surveyed since the most recent stay-at-home orders or the French Laundry incident, when Newsom was photographed dining with a group of lobbyists at the exclusive Napa Valley restaurant. But the most recent surveys show Democratic voters still continue to support Newsom, while Republicans disapprove.
Voters' biggest cue will always be partisanship, as much as people don't want to admit that.
Renee Van Vechten is a political science professor at the University of Redlands. She says while Newsom is clinging to the good graces of most California voters, there's a lot riding on the next few weeks, including the all-important COVID-19 vaccine distribution.
It is do-or-die time for the governor, because he does face the very real possibility of a recall election.
If the recall does qualify for the ballot, an election would likely be later this summer. And Van Vechten says Newsom shouldn't rely too heavily on his base to carry him through.
He's on a mountain, and he's driving around on a very narrow road. Could he go off the cliff at any time? It's possible. It just one little turn of the wheel and he's over the hill. That is what a French Laundry incident represents.
And she says voters may not have the appetite for another scandal. In Sacramento, I'm Nicole Nixon.
Now we'll turn to Governor Newsom's record on the environment. Environmental experts are giving the governor mixed reviews on his first 2 years in office. Some say he's made some important steps forward on climate change. Others say he's been playing defense. Advocates say now is the time for Governor Newsom to show where he really stands on the environment. In this next story, Cap Radio's Ezra David Romero reports.
Back in September, while wildfires and the pandemic were raging, Newsom captivated the world's attention with a bold new climate goal. He ordered the new car and truck market to be zero emission by 2035.
The opportunity is limitless for the state of California to compete, not only nationally, but to compete globally.
That really was very important.
Dan Sperling with the UC Davis Institute of Transportation Studies says the clean car target was a big deal for the state's climate goals.
That actually got a lot of attention, not only California, but internationally. And a lot of other countries are now imitating that target.
While Newsom's gotten a lot of praise for transportation goals, he hasn't exactly been known as a champion environmentalist. Catherine Phillips is the director of Sierra Club California.
To the environmental community, it's been a disappointment. Initially, he wasn't talking about climate change at all. Then he started talking about it. Then he had to deal with all the fires. He says he's going to accelerate everything and then sort of put the brakes on.
But some would argue that Newsom's lack of environmental progress may be because he was playing defense against the Trump administration's repeated attempts to roll back policies. 2020's record-setting wildfire season was also a major distraction. Although Newsom did help create a state-federal partnership to reduce wildfire risk, he also proposed $1 billion for wildfire prevention in a recent budget, but
$1 billion is not going to go very far.
UC Berkeley forestry advisor William Stewart says $1 billion is chump change because so many agencies want the funds and there are so many potential projects.
We may need to do something different than kind of the small scale projects that we historically know how to do. There needs to be some people with kind of a skunkworks approach. Can we look at doing this a different way?
Another area where environmentalists say Newsom has fallen short is in water management, says Deborah Sivas, an attorney with the Stanford University Environmental Law Clinic. She says the state's fragmented water bureaucracies could be corralled into one agency, and he needs to make sure farms and cities are getting water needs met.
Let's reform water. It's hard, right? And there are a lot of entrenched interests. But if you really want to have the mantle of environmental champion, this is his time to do it. And it just feels like we're just not getting anything revolutionary.
Advocates like Phillips of Sierra Club, California, criticize Newsom for not taking bold action and for being more like Governor Jerry Brown, who was known for his incremental approach to policymaking.
A sense among many people that incrementalism isn't the thing they want. They want change. They want clean air. Especially young people want to stop worrying about what the future is going to bring in terms of climate change.
In talking to advocates and experts, it's clear they're more interested in what Newsom can do moving forward. Alvaro Sanchez, Environmental Equity Director for the Green Lighting Institute, says Newsom needs to phase out fossil fuels faster. He says that will help meet the state's climate goals and improve life for Californians in polluted parts of the state.
What I would recommend is not only to hear, but to believe what folks are saying and to really incorporate what they are asking for into our actual strategies.
With a new presidential administration focused on equity and climate change, Sanchez says the cap is now lifted off the governor. He says this is Newsom's time to meet the moment and be bold on the environment. In Sacramento, I'm Ezra David Romero.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Hannah Baba, and this is a special presentation from Cap Radio News looking at Governor Gavin Newsom's first 2 years in office. Homelessness has been a top concern for Californians, and Newsom has made bold promises to solve homelessness. Thousands of people have been sheltered under his watch, but as Cap Radio's Chris Nichols explains, advocates are wondering if the early success will last.
Past California governors largely ignored the state's homelessness crisis. Newsom has tried to tackle the problem head on.
I don't think homelessness can be solved. I know that homelessness can be solved.
Newsom devoted nearly all of last year's State of the State address to this ongoing human emergency.
This is our cause. It's our calling. Let's all rise to the challenge and make California stand up as an exemplar of what true courage and compassion can achieve. Let's all get to work. Thank you, guys. Thank y'all.
In some ways, he has delivered. Newsom has worked with state lawmakers to invest billions of dollars in housing, rental assistance, and health services for homeless people. Last year, his team searched the state for excess land and even vacant hospitals to use as shelters. This spring, he won praise for moving more than 22,000 homeless people into motel rooms, all to prevent major outbreaks of COVID-19. The effort, called Project Roomkey, largely worked.
Being inside, it means a lot to me. It does. I feel safe. I'm safe. I'm secure.
That's 65-year-old Curtis Freeman, who was on the streets of Sacramento for nearly a year. He lived in a tent under a freeway, often afraid for his life. Then in March, he got a motel room through Roomkey. Standing outside his motel near Interstate 5, wearing a black and white beanie, Freeman says he's no longer afraid.
I ain't got to worry about nobody, you know, coming in. I can lay down and relax.
But despite Newsom's efforts, the crisis remains. Homeless camps line sidewalks, riverbanks, and freeways across the state. An estimated 150,000 Californians are without a home, according to the most recent federal survey. This summer, to build on the progress of Roomkey, Newsom introduced Project Homekey. The new effort awarded $800 million to cities and counties to buy motels for more permanent homeless housing. But some of Newsom's critics say without providing more services, programs like Roomkey and Homekey just serve to score political points.
That results in leaders patting themselves on the back and checking another box.
Former state lawmaker Mike Gatto, a Democrat from Los Angeles, says Newsom's policies need to have a greater emphasis on mental health treatment so that people are more self-sufficient.
But in reality, the people are not given the support that they need or, frankly, the tough love that they need. And then they wind out back on the street.
Newsom says mental health support is on its way as part of the nearly $2 billion he wants to spend on homelessness in his January budget. Jennifer Friedenbach of the Coalition on Homelessness in San Francisco says Newsom deserves credit for his early actions as governor, but she and others who work with the unhoused say the state needs a permanent source of funding to fight the problem.
I would give him good marks for focusing on homelessness, but he's really tinkering around the edges and needs to go much farther. You know, bring in additional revenue in order to address the situation at the scale that the crisis calls for.
Friedenbach, who has known Newsom since his time in local government in San Francisco, says he's always had bold ideas. She says the question now is whether he can follow through and truly solve this growing crisis. In Sacramento, I'm Chris Nichols.
Next, we're going to talk about tech. Governor Newsom has spent much of his political career advocating for tech innovation in government, but he's had mixed success modernizing state bureaucracy in the last 2 years. Cap Radio's Scott Rodd reports.
In 2013, then-Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom went on Comedy Central's The Colbert Report to hype his new book called Citizenville, How to Take the Town Square Digital and Reinvent Government.
The whole idea is this. Right now, we have a broadcast model of governing that you vote what? And I decide. It's this, you understand this intimately. You've seen the contours of this change with the media. You've seen it certainly in the music industry. Big is getting small, and small is getting big. Technology has the ability to level the playing field.
What into the does any of that mean?
The book's message is actually fairly simple. Governments need to be tech savvy and should open their troves of data to the public. In turn, people will become more engaged in the civic process. But modernizing state government, that's been a challenge for Newsom in the last 2 years. Here he is a few weeks ago unveiling his latest budget proposal.
And I wrote a book about being on the leading and cutting edge of 1976 in terms of our IT. And trust me, that's been made abundantly clear to not just me, to all of you in this last year.
So I'm starting to log on to the
employment website right now.
Mary Montgomery works at a sushi restaurant in Sacramento that has opened and closed throughout the pandemic. Like millions of Californians, she applied for unemployment insurance to help make ends meet. Then the state inexplicably froze her benefits.
It says that I have over $5,000 that I should be able to use, but there's no way for me to use that money.
The Employment Development Department's dusty old computer system has been blamed for its high-profile failures in recent months. There's an ongoing backlog of about 1 million claims, and there's rampant fraud that could total more than $30 billion. Newsom appointed a strike team that recommended a complete IT overhaul. How to do that is still unclear. So for now, the existing system limps along. During the pandemic, Newsom's administration has been more successful at tracking the virus.
It's done a good job for the population as a whole and for major racial ethnic groups.
Ninez Ponce is director of UCLA's Center for Health Policy Research. She says there have been a few hiccups, and California could do a better job at disclosing targeted population data, but its tracking system on the whole is better than most states. Newsom has also been quick to forge partnerships with Silicon Valley during the pandemic. That's according to Amy Tong, the state's chief information officer. She points to California Notify, a contact tracing app for your phone that's garnered millions of users.
That is a partnership with Google and Apple. It's an exposure notification, and we piloted it with all the UC campuses to begin with.
But for every new dashboard or widget, a decades-old server is still waiting to be replaced. Tong says the state's biggest tech challenge isn't updating those systems, but rather winning over the hearts and minds of public employees who are used to doing things a certain way.
There's a huge culture change that needs to happen to make sure the people that are running the program, people running the operations, are comfortable. Technology alone is not the panacea.
To encourage this cultural shift, Newsom created the Office of Digital Innovation shortly after taking office and allocated $40 million to get it started. One of its first projects was prototyping a redesign of the state government's website. But the homepage warns the site is still a work in progress, and some of the information may be outdated. In Sacramento, I'm Scott Rodd.
You've been listening to a special presentation from CAP Radio News looking at California Governor Gavin Newsom's first 2 years in office. You can find more information about the series at capradio.org.
Hey, I'm Annalise Finney from KALW's Audio Academy. KALW has spent 80 years teaching audio producers, engineers, DJs, and journalists. Why? Because we're all about investing in education. When you empower people, the future is limitless. KALW has been and will always be committed to training the next generation. So thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Two Bay Area authors are finalists for the 2020 National Book Critics Circle Award. Both of them were featured in the KALW podcast, New Arrivals. So today we're bringing you mini readings of the books that have been nominated. It's produced by Lisa Morehouse.
Alia Voltz lives in San Francisco. Her book, Home Baked, came out in April.
It's the true story of my family's business, which was San Francisco's first high-volume cannabis edibles business from the frothy, crazy 1970s through the AIDS crisis and the birth of medical marijuana. This is from the beginning of the book. When I was 9, my public elementary school participated in a program best known by the slogan, Dare to Keep Kids Off Drugs. It was one of Nancy Reagan's pet projects, a prong of her Just Say No campaign. One afternoon per week, the entire fourth grade crowded into the cafeteria where a uniformed policeman lectured us about the perils of narcotics like marijuana. We learned techniques for deflecting peer pressure and identifying and avoiding dealers. And we broke into groups to play act situations. I was careful to follow the program's script. I knew how to keep a secret. at home. There were giant black garbage bags of Mendocino shake crammed into the closet of our spare bedroom, along with pounds of fragrant manicured buds sealed in gallon Ziplocs.
That was Alia Voltz reading from Home Baked. And Alia wasn't the only one who had a book that was nominated for a national award. Let's listen to the other one.
C. Pam Zhang lives in San Francisco. Her novel, How Much of These Hills is Gold, came out in April.
It's a new American epic, one that rewrites the mythology of the California Gold Rush, and starts one day when two children of immigrants wake up and discover that their father has died in the night. Here is the very beginning. Ba dies in the night, prompting them to seek two silver dollars. Sam's tapping an angry beat come morning, but Lucy, before they go, feels a need to speak. Silence weighs harder on her, pushes till she gives way. Sorry, she says to Ba in his bed. The sheet that tucks him is the only clean stretch in this dim and dusty shack, every surface black with coal. Ba didn't heed the mess while living, and in death his mean squint goes right past it. Past Lucy. Straight to Sam. Sam, the favorite, round bundle of impatience circling the doorway in two big boots. Sam clung to Ba's every word while living, and now won't meet the man's gaze. That's when it hits Lucy. Ba really is gone.
That was author C. Pam Zhang reading from her new novel, How Much of These Hills is Gold. New Arrivals is produced by KALW's Lisa Morehouse. Find more readings at KALW.org. Tune in tomorrow at 5. When city services shut their doors last March, some employees were assigned to new jobs to help fight the pandemic.
My skills really matched well with what they needed, and especially being bilingual.
In a new story from our series, At Work, we meet a San Francisco librarian turned contact tracer tomorrow at 5 on Cross Currents. And before we leave you, here's some new music from a local artist. This is Queenie Pie by Davis I.L. It's an homage to San Francisco dancer Carol Doda. Today's Cross Currents team includes Scott Carroll, Marissa Ortega-Welch, and Lisa Ramrika. Our engineers are James Rollins and Gabe Graben. Production manager is Shirin Adil. Managing editor is David Boyer. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.